Live and local, this is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. With over 200 combined years of sports coverage in Acadiana, this is a gathering unlike any other.
Well, every week this show looks better to me.
Every week your eyesight gets worse.
This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies. Here's your host, Don Allen.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Five Guys, Stories and Lies. Don, Bobby, Tom, Bruce, and Glenn. And, of course, our wizard behind the curtain, that would be Clint, in the studios. We've got an hour with you tonight before the Astros come on with the Kansas City Royals. I just heard the promo for it. Got two pitchers whose combined ERAs are about 10 going in this one. So if you tune in late, that's all right. It's probably still going on.
Good chance of that.
The Astros are off to kind of a stumbling start. Kansas City's just bad.
They might be posting T-ball numbers tonight.
Maybe so. What do we have to talk about? Well, we're going to talk about the Derby, obviously, that which ran just a few days ago and resulted in the first disqualification of a winner in the 145-year history of the Derby. We will have a guest, right?
Yes, we will.
Okay, Eddie Delahousie, Hall of Fame jockey, will join us by phone about 10, 15 minutes from now. And we'll try to get his take on it as well. There are some other things to talk about. Obviously, one of the top pieces of news that I know a lot of people have paid attention to is that Long Island University is changing its nickname.
Yeah,
has anybody read this story?
No, really don't care.
I can't even tell you what their old nickname is.
We could put You Can't Fix Stupid behind this one, Clint.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Their old nickname, the Brickland campus, was named the Blackbirds. In fact, I think UL has played the Blackbirds in the past, maybe as USL. Their post-New York name was the Pioneers.
Yep.
But the president of the university, who is a female, and I'm sure that has nothing to do with it, she says one of the big reasons that they're going to start all over is they've heard that the name Blackbirds is racially insensitive.
So why are me and Tom not surprised?
I'm not surprised.
Are you not?
No.
You can't fit stupid.
Thank you. political correctness has gone, you know, it goes beyond bounds, it seems like, every day.
I thought blackbirds were animals.
Huh?
I thought blackbirds were just animals.
They're birds.
Yeah,
they're birds.
Political correctness is getting in the way of everything, dude. Everything.
Just like a couple of years ago, I was reading a Rick Riley column in ESPN magazine where a lot of people were on board to get rid of the name Redskins as it was affixed to Washington.
They still are.
Yeah.
But he wrote in his column, which wasn't too well accepted in the Northeast, that a lot of Native American teams in the Southwest, in New Mexico, their high schools are named Redskins, and they did not want to change their mascot, and they were totally against doing away with the Washington Redskins name. I thought it was a great column, and he put afterward that he had received a lot of negative comments about it.
Yeah, that would be translating into hate mail about
it,
I'm sure.
Well, you know, that's what's...
Well, this has gone on for a long, long time. When I was in high school in the 1800s, there was a high school in our district whose nickname was the Rebels. And as the demographics changed in that area, they changed their nickname to the Bobcats, Black Bobcats.
Okay. The Black Bobcats?
Yes, and that was okay.
Is there such a thing?
That was okay.
No such thing as a Black Bobcat.
That's what they changed it to, the Black Bobcats.
So on the Black Panthers. You know?
No, Black Bobcats.
Glenn,
and our school fight song was Dixie.
Black.
Clint, you're going to have to look that up. See if there's such thing as a Black Bobcat.
There's no such thing as a Black
and
Bobcat.
Our school fight song was Dixie, and we couldn't play it when we played them.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, Ole Miss hasn't given up the Rebels yet.
No.
Although a lot of schools have given up Native American nicknames.
Because they got weak leadership.
Aren't the Rebels, aren't Ole Miss calling themselves the Land Sharks or something?
No, they're Land Sharks now, yeah.
But that's their defense, isn't it, the Land
Sharks?
Or is
that their mascot? That's the new mascot.
They've been calling them Land Sharks last season.
Who called them that?
That's what they're called.
I haven't heard ESPN once mention the fact LSU's taking on the Land Sharks tonight. I never heard that.
Well, look, here. I just picked up today's app.
It's just gotten out of control.
Has. Some liberal thing person can get upset because LSU is in need of another rally possum. So I'm sure that's going to offend somebody. Yeah. You know, like the time
it's
I told you.
The anniversary of the rally possum. They were showing them running across the field the other night.
People got too much damn time on their hands.
Didn't do them much good this weekend, did it?
Get angry, man.
Or last night.
Huh?
Yeah, or last night. Ed.
Or last
possum
night.
Didn't do them much good this past weekend or last night.
No, Louisiana Tech.
They needed a whole herd of possums.
They forgot to play.
Yeah, the rally possum
Louisiana.
Ran across the field and one of Tech's baseballs hit it. And almost killed it.
Yeah, that was. Woo, that
so,
was
what a, are they changing
was
to?
A whooping.
Oh, the Blackbirds?
No, Long
the Blue Jays.
Yeah, they are changing it. They've
Mockingbirds.
They've got three suggestions out there: sharks,
okay,
that's
eagles, and some other bird. And the alumni association is not happy with it. All 112 members of them. You know, because Long Island does not graduate a lot of players each year. What,
sticking with the theme about them mascots, we got Neil in New Iberia wants to throw one in there. He's got a cool story.
Oh, Neil. Okay.
All right, Neil.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, guys.
What you got?
Listen, you may not remember this, but I do. It happened about 15, 20 years ago. The University of Massachusetts was going to change their nickname from the Minutemen because it was too warlike. And offended people.
I had another comment.
Hold on. It gets better.
Okay.
Bruce, Glenn's got a dirty mind. Just skip
that. The connotation I had was totally different. Go ahead.
Hey, the state legislature of Massachusetts said, okay, UMass, you want to change your mascot? We'll cut your funding. Huh. All of a sudden, the administration said, you know, Minutemen,
that. Change your opinion right there.
Money drives it all, and when money says something,
money talks.
Will.
Money talks. Yeah, it's just gotten out of control.
I would appreciate that.
That's a great one. I love that.
Well, you know what? I don't think anybody's complained about the banana slugs yet. So
I love
hopefully
them.
The banana slugs
them.
Are
used
a
to
safe.
Have a T-shirt
or the armadillos,
and I should have bought it.
My favorite was when Stanford was changing from the Indians.
Yeah,
ended up with a tree.
Right.
But the student body was asked to vote for it, and they voted for robber barons after Leland Stanford, who founded it.
But you got to love Stanford to begin with, starting with the band.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they are as irreverent as they come out there.
Well, you don't like a tribute to the potato famine when they played Notre Dame one time?
706-0111. That's your number here on the Ardco Equipment Hotline.
Well, look,
excuse me. Oh, I'm done. Go on.
I didn't say nothing.
I thought you were done. That's go ahead. Please keep going.
He's learned you got to jump in.
Yeah, if I don't jump in.
You don't jump in. That's it.
This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies. Starring Tom Brown and Glenn Quibito tonight. Y'all go ahead, guys.
I was just simply going to say, you know, recently we got Coastal Carolina in here, the Chanticleers. How do you do a cheer on that? Give me a C, give me an H, and 15 minutes later, that spells Chanticleers.
Actually, I think it's Chanticleers, isn't it?
Yeah, whatever. Chanticleers, Chanticleers.
Our guest is with us. We're going to take a commercial break. Eddie, so hang on just a couple of minutes. I guess it'll be the song coming out of it. Hang on just a couple of minutes, and we'll be back with Eddie Delahousie, Hall of Fame jockey, and we'll talk about the Kentucky Derby.
Now, back to Five Guys, Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
And it's run for the roses as fast as you can.
Do you guys remember that song at all?
Oh, yeah.
Dan Fogelberg, Run for the Roses, which ironically was recorded the same year that Eddie Delahousie won his first Kentucky Derby.
And when Eddie came home to New Iberia after that, Eddie, you remember that? They played that when that was a song.
Yeah, I remember that, but I didn't realize that was when I won my first Derby. So it was that's new to me.
Well, hey,
I remember the song, but I didn't know that's what happened.
Hey, you remember the story Don Schubert wrote about you? He led off the story with that of them playing it at the reception. They played that song for you.
Yeah, it's been so long ago, man.
Oh, I love that song, and that's where I learned to love the song. What's that?
You hear the voice, now let me tell you who we're talking to.
Eddie knows, but go ahead.
He is the 15th winningest jockey of all time. He won the Derby twice, aboard Goddard El Sol in 82, aboard Sonny's Halo the next year, and was second in 1981. So he had a nice little string of three straight. He won the Preakness in 1988 above Riven Star. He won the Belmont in 1992 aboard AP Day. He is Eddie Delahousie. He is a Hall of Fame jockey. And, Eddie, we're going to ask you a couple of things here tonight. I'm Don, Glenn, Tom,
Bobby Hardwin,
Bobby, and Bruce, and they'll say their name before they ask you. First question would be, Country House was declared the winner Saturday over Maximum Security when that one was disqualified for impeding. Two jockeys originally filed objections, and then the stewards' inquiry took it from there. My question to you is, and I'm sure you watched the Derby. Tell me you watched the Derby.
I sure did.
Okay. If you were a steward, would you have taken Maximum Security down?
Yes. Yes, there's rules of racing, although that the Kentucky Derby before that race was 144 years of racing and no winner had been disqualified in a race that had won besides a horse that was taken down from medication but not by inquiry or objection.
Right.
And when I was watching the horse, I was at Evangeline Downs up in the clubhouse, and I was watching the, I was glued to the TV, and I was watching it very thorough, and I seen when Maximum Security bolted, and I said to myself, uh-oh, this is not good. Then I seen John Court's horse stumble. I seen him stumble before I even seen War of Will really having to snatch up.
Yeah.
And I knew that was going to be a problem, but then I thought, well, that's the Kentucky Derby. I rode in 12 of them. I got shut off I don't know how many times, and they've never done anything. They've never taken, even though they have rules of riding, the Derby is once a year for three-year-olds, and these stewards always tell you in the jock's room that if you do something wrong, we're going to take your number down, but it hadn't never been done before. And so riders, most riders, did take their best shot. And it's one of the roughest races run every year.
Do you
and
think?
Because it's so historical, and everybody wants to win it. And you have a lot of young riders that don't ride their horses the way they should be ridden. They get aggressive, and they override, and they cause a lot of problems.
Could you see the danger in what the jock aboard Maximum Security did and what might have happened?
But let me tell you something. The jock didn't do it. The horse did it.
Yeah.
The horse bolted. That jock had nothing to do with it.
So he didn't move didn't move the horse into the next lane?
No. The horse done it himself.
All right.
The horse done it himself. When you get in that stretch, horses, these three-year-olds, that horse had only run four times prior. Mm. And you get these three-year-olds, when you got a big crowd on the left, a big crowd on the right, I mean, you got 150,000 people, you've never seen that before. And the roar of the crowd, these animals, it's amazing not more of them don't do things like that. And what he done, he either heard something or also it had rained right before the race, and that water gets on that track, and there's a glare sometimes, there's a shine. And sometimes these animals see it, and they'll prop. They'll do crazy things. Last year, they had one that came from Europe. When Justified won, he came out the gates. He was bucking. We've never seen that before. So my point is, these animals, I can't blame the rider. It was the horse that caused the whole problem.
Okay, point taken.
Hey, Eddie, this is Tom Brown. Pleasure to talk to you. Do you think, in your opinion, is 20 horses too many for a race like this?
Well, you know, me and my friend Ray Sabil, he called me that night. Ray's a rider that rode. He won over 3,500 races, and Ray's a top rider in his own right. And he said, Eddie, when did he start running 20 horses? So I went back and I looked back, and it was in 1973.
Really?
They started, yeah.
And
in 74, they had 23 horses.
Cool. Jeez.
I don't
then
remember
they had to stop that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember going back that far. That just shows you what my memory is. You know?
Secretary had won in what, 72 or 73?
He was in 72, I think. They only had 13 horses in his race.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Eddie,
prior to that, the most they ever had prior to that, if I'm not mistaken, it was maybe 16 or 17 horses.
Okay. Eddie, when we talked at length yesterday, you said that you were scared that this set a precedent. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's going to set a precedent. It's going to set a precedent where these stewards are going to really have to do their job, because it took 22 minutes not to take down that horse. I promise you. They didn't really want to take down that horse.
I believe that, yeah.
They were trying, because they had never been done before. And, you know, that guy that owned that horse is 40 years in the game, spent millions of dollars. You win the Derby. It's a historical event. Millions of people, hundreds of millions of people are looking at that race. And it's a historical race. And to get taken down in that race, it's unbelievable. Wow. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. Why I say I couldn't believe it, because all the years I rode before, it's always been a rough run race, and it never happened. But this was so blatant coming in the stretch, and with all the technology they have and the films they have, they had no choice but to take that horse down.
We're talking with Hall of Fame jockey Eddie Delahousse on what happened in last Saturday's Kentucky Derby and his viewpoint on it.
Yeah, and we were talking, and that's what you had said, is that was the roughest race that you would ride every year, correct?
Correct.
In the Derby, and that you kind of felt that was just part of the game, the Kentucky Derby. Jockeys expect a lot of bumping and things like that. So this thing was such an egregious thing that they had to do it?
Yeah, they had no choice. So, I don't know what goes in their minds, but when you have three stewards and you have all the technology watching that race, when that incident happened, they knew what happened quicker than the public.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're viewing that film all through that live race all through the race. And so, you know, they've seen what happened, and that's the only thing I can see why it took. So if I would have been a steward and seen, I'm viewing the films and stuff like that, and it's a normal race, that flash, I would have had it, not an objection, an inquiry. So the stewards put up an inquiry, and the riders, they call them objections, because they object. They call up and they tell the stewards. Well, those stewards had seen that. They should have had an inquiry up there. But it's a historical race, and I guess they didn't want to do it.
I have one more thing, but Bobby needs to ask you a question.
Yeah,
Eddie, what do you think of the owner's decision to pull maximum security out of the Preakness?
Yeah, he's taking his horse and going home.
Well, I knew he wasn't going to run. He has no reason to run that horse back. He got taken down in the Derby. And it's coming back 2 weeks. That horse is a hell of a racehorse, and it's hard on those horses to run those three races. Look, Justified. They retired him right after he won the Belmont. You know, I mean, it's a hard on those young horses to keep running all three races. And a lot of horses are ruined by them doing it. But it's a historical thing to win the Triple Crown, so they're going to run these horses, and it's just the way it's always been.
Doesn't
but
it make
when
it
you even... get you when you get your number taken down, why would I go run a nice horse 2 weeks later and maybe just hurt him?
Doesn't it make it even more amazing what Secretariat, who set track records in all three of these Triple Crown races, what that horse accomplished, 40-something years ago?
He was an amazing individual, and I think he even went on after the Triple Crown and won big races, you know, and he was just an amazing individual, and I don't think we'll ever see another one like him.
I agree with you.
I was wondering this, and Bruce, if you have something, I apologize. The horse's value isn't what it would have been if he'd have won that race clean, correct?
Well, it would have definitely helped his value. That's for sure. But he's by a stallion, a young stallion that Gary West had, and that was his stallion that he bred to his mare. So he bred that. Maximum Security. That was his, you know, they raised.
No, but I'm not talking about. So, I'm talking about the eventual winner. His worth.
I don't think because they put him up as the winner.
Yeah,
it's not like winning the race.
That's what I'm saying. Like it's kind of like he won it by default. So his value is not going to go, and that jockey won't be looked at in the same light as people like you and Burrell and those guys. Correct.
No, and neither will the trainer. And it's one of those things, you're not going to say no, you're going to take it, you know. And it's like, $1,800,000 to you. So,
oof.
And your name goes in that book, but it's not going to be the same as you winning, on the up and up.
It's kind of like having an asterisk next to your name in a professional sport for accomplishing something. Bruce, you had something?
Yeah, Eddie, you're one of several jockeys from Louisiana who've had great success in the game and a number of Hall of Famers. And what do you attribute the great success that Louisiana's had in jockeys professionally?
You know, I don't think we'll ever see that again because, there's numerous of us that Calvin Burrell, Ken DeZarmo, myself, Craig Perrett, Eric Guerin,
Randy.
I might be missing Randy,
Romero.
But I mean, winning the derbies, these are the guys that have won the derbies and won two, three, Kent won three, Calvin's won three, I won two. Coming from Louisiana, I think it was all the match races we had when we were kids that helped everybody back in those days. And we all came from poor families, and we all learned how to work. I mean, nothing was given to me or Calvin or DeZarmo. I mean, I was working when I was 50 years old at Santa Anita, going out every morning, to keep my business going.
Right.
But I think it's all the match tracks and being in the environment we were, farmers, being in a rural area that helped these riders. But the work ethic helped them even more, I think.
We were talking about that today, that the lack of bush tracks today or the absence of bush tracks today. But today, with today's legal climate, you can't put an 8 or 9 year old on a horse like they did when you and Randy and those guys were riding at 8, 9, 10 years old.
No, because there's always somebody trying to tell you your business and how they run your life. And that's what this country's coming to.
There you go, buddy. You want us.
Eddie, we cannot thank you enough for your time and your insight this evening.
Well, thank you very much for asking me, and it's nice talking to you guys, and y'all have a great, great evening.
Before you go away, who were you riding that finished second in 81?
A horse by the name of, in 80.
Really?
I'm sorry, in 81, yes. A horse by the name of Woodchopper.
Woodchopper. Damn horse, catch you from a three-peat.
And look, I got in all kind of trouble that race. I mean, I was in all kind of trouble, but there was no inquiry. So we won that second.
Where was Risen Star? What did Risen Star finish in that race?
Star won an 80.
Third. That's the horse that should have won.
And he's a horse that probably should have won the Triple Crown.
Absolutely.
And he had the one hole, and there was a lot of things that happened before the race. that kind of took the horse out of his race, the way they trained him. And I think if they would look back on it, if they would have trained him differently, I think he'd have won the Triple Crown.
Eddie, thank you again. Have a great evening.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, Eddie.
Thanks, Eddie.
All right, thank you again. All right,
appreciate it.
Hall of Famer Eddie De La Hoosie. This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies. We're going to play this entire song before we go to break.
They're here to tell it like it is and how it was. This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Ah. Glenn, you can come.
What's Kent? Our producer's got his boogie going tonight. Is that it? Square dance? Two-step? Four-step? I don't know what it's called. Five Guys, Stories and Lies and the time that we have left, and I think that's plenty. 706-0111. That's your number at the Ardco Equipment Hotline. The Astros are in action tonight against the Kansas City Royals. We will have the remainder of the pregame at 7 o'clock when we close shop, and then first pitch at 7:10. Before we get away from the Derby, a couple of things about this. We did make our picks last week. Bruce picked a horse, something humor.
Yeah, with Lanario.
With
or Lannery.
Lannery, yeah. Just finished, by the way, Bruce. Just finished.
Told you it was a long shot.
Bobby and Tom both picked improbable.
Cutting humor.
That's it, cutting humor.
Very improbable, by the way, as it turned out. I raised my hand for no particular reason because I did tab Tacitus. Now it's finished third, got bumped up to second. I have no idea what horse Glenn picked.
You're still a loser. It did not win.
No, you're true. But it beat the hell out of all the Elves picks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, by the way, I'm watching the race on television with Patricia Gannon. And they're in the post parade, and she says, I like that horse. That looks just like the horse I used to have. I'll pick that one. What do you think? Country House, thank you.
We had one by default.
One, yeah, but she would have won $135 by default.
Yeah.
If she'd had a $2 bet on it. Yeah, that's default. What else do I have here?
Yeah, you know, it doesn't matter how old you get or how much you think you know. When you talk to a guy like Eddie De La Hoosie, you always pick up something. We were talking in the break. I was telling Bobby and Bruce that I would have never thought to think about with a wet track that there's a glare coming off the water that would affect the horse's mm-hmm. run, you know? It's just not something I would think of, you know? That's amazing. The things you can pick up from a guy with his kind of experience and career.
Mm-hmm. Now, when Eddie said that a few minutes ago, I was covering an Evangeline Downs race last year. It was in August, and it was on a sloppy track, and I was talking to one of the trainers whose horse won, and I asked him about the track conditions, and he said we were worried about our horse because it was only his second race, and we were worried about him seeing a horse in front of him, but he led the whole way.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what do you mean by that? And he said, because sometimes the reflections of the other horses on the side, or if there's one in front of you, it'll spook them.
Yeah, they never trained the horse under that possibility?
I think it was that plus all of the other conditions like the crowd, you know, the lights and everything.
Well, so you run them on a wet track and lean over and tell the horse, this is a reflection you're seeing.
Objects in the mirror are closer than they appear.
Yeah, this is not a real horse you're seeing in the water down there. Yeah, that's how we train them.
Yeah. That's one of the things that Eddie said. He said he thinks that might have been one of the things that spooked the horse.
Yeah.
He saw that, like you said, it looks like a mirror mm-hmm. sometimes when they're coming out of there. And, he saw it immediately. And Jay, you know, both of them, him and Jake, Jake was in Kentucky at the Kentucky Derby, and he said the same thing. He was watching it, and he said the same thing. He saw it immediately. But them being horsemen, they're going to know.
Yeah, Jake trains.
Where, yeah.
For
so,
those people that are not
Jake
aware
DeLong.
Of that.
Yeah. Yeah, so they know to where us. You know, I mentioned to a good friend of mine today, I said, dude, I never saw that. I've covered a lot of races, but I never saw when it happened. I saw it on the replay, and he said, I was watching it. I never saw it either.
They know, but at the same time, they wonder if the stewards are going to do something because it had never been done before in the Derby. They might have seen it and said, oh, that's a violation, but still probably wondered whether it was going to come to a
And that's what Eddie was saying. In his mind, he's thinking they've never pulled one down. And he's saying that's what the jockeys are thinking. You know, they never pull one down because – the jockey next to him, what was it? War Ways or something? What was the name of that horse? That was
War of Will.
War of Will. That jockey didn't file a protest.
There were two protests filed.
Yeah, but he didn't. The one that was next to him, he got hit.
Yeah.
Didn't file. Yeah. And the owner said later, well, we didn't because we knew we weren't going to win the race. But the guy that wound up winning in an interview right after, if y'all saw it, he said, yeah, it kind of knocked my horse sideways. And then he came back on and said, it knocked his horse sideways.
Yeah.
It didn't even touch his horse.
Yeah.
But he saw it, and I was saying, so, Eddie, how does that jockey get treated for filing an objection when he wasn't even impacted by that, really?
Yeah.
I said, you know, in a jock room, how do they do that?
I think he answered it perfectly.
Yeah.
They're independent contractors.
Independent contractors, yeah. And, hey, if you do something wrong, I'm gonna call you on it.
Those people that were unsure about whether the horse should be taken down,
I was one of them.
Yeah, I know. And I can't, and maybe I'm not comparing apples to apples here. But 9 months ago, no, it wasn't 9 months ago, it was 5 months ago. 5 months ago, all of Louisiana and a good part of the nation was in an uproar over the non-call for the New Orleans Saints. Now, here's a call made, and they're in an uproar about that, too.
Well, I'm certainly not a horse racing expert, but I did watch it, and I watched the replay, and I thought it was obvious that something happened there. I mean, you could see the horse, you know, flare off, and you could see the reactions of the horses around him, whether they hit him or not. Now, I can't tell you whether or not
Wait,
I thought
you
he should
Wait, you being a novice, you saw that live action? You saw that
I
as
I said
it
I
happened?
Saw the replay.
Oh, okay. All right. I got you.
Has anybody – look, I hate to break this up.
We're having so much fun.
Has anybody seen the Sports Illustrated 2019 swimsuit edition?
I won't look at it.
How the hell do we go from that to
I won't look at it. I won't be buying it this year.
There's no such thing as transition on this show.
No, this is a transition.
That's a transition?
Yes.
Oh, have you seen the swimsuit edition? That's a transition.
Well.
Okay, we got a phone call.
It features a Muslim model wearing a burkini. Which, to be honest with you, looks like a wetsuit with a hijab. That's exactly what it looks like.
And she has a headpiece on.
And she's gorgeous.
Yeah. So why do you have a bikini on with a headpiece?
No. It wasn't a bikini.
Okay.
It's a burkini.
Oh, a
got a caller?
Yeah. Let's transition back over to some horse racing with a guy, Bob. He's on the Arco Equipment Hotline.
Hey, Bob.
Bob, you don't want to talk about the swimsuit edition?
No, not only that.
Muslim women in burqas and bikinis do not do anything for me, man. I'm telling you. Guys, man, y'all need to get a life. Man. Come on.
the views of this caller are not.
Hey, I agree with you, Bob.
Yeah, well, if Tom agrees with you immediately, you know you're in the minority, Bob.
Okay, well,
what you got, Bob?
Not like I haven't been there before.
Hey,
so what the hell?
Join the rest of us, Bob.
You know, one of the first things that Eddie said that, I mean, the stewards, you know, the stewards made the right call, but from the beginning, they caused their own controversy. I mean, I've been going to the races since 73 when Secretariat won the Triple Crown. That's how far back I go with it. But they caused their own controversy because, you know, whether it's a race at Evangeline Downs or the Kentucky Derby, when they didn't put up the inquiry sign, they knew something happened. They were waiting for somebody else to drop the ball, not them. And that was the thing that really, if you want to say, started the controversy, was that they didn't even put up this
the inquiry
on the tote board, you know, with the inquiry light, you know. So, I mean, that was the biggest problem. But look, guys, let's talk about the real problem is the race itself. And there's no reason, and I've been around horse racing a long time, there is no reason for them to have 20 horses in this race. Now, I don't know if you guys know this, but Churchill Downs Incorporated is now it owns racetracks that have casinos in them. And the more horses you have in a race, the more money is wagered on a race.
Wait a minute. You're answering your own question, Bob.
Well, no. Follow me on this. Most of these jockeys, you know, that ride in these races, they may ride in a 10-horse field. You know, they may ride in a 10-horse field or 12-horse field. There is absolutely no way that you can put 20 horses, okay, in a race in two starting gates.
Yep.
You know, in two starting gates, and expect them to run a mile and a quarter, a distance they'll probably never run the rest of their careers, and not expect something to happen.
Yeah, you want a clean race.
It'd be like you guys leaving for work and you drive in at 6 o'clock in the morning, and the next day you drive in at 9 o'clock in the morning. And that's the difference in the race.
Traffic, yeah.
You are going to have problems. You are going to have, you know, incidences in the race. And you can't expect jockeys, you know, one time out the year to ride in a race with 20 horses. It's a disaster waiting to happen. And I'm glad War of Will didn't go down, because, guys, it would have been a domino effect. I mean, if you've ever seen, you know the tragedy of horses breaking down, usually if a horse breaks down on a lead, well, guess what happens behind him when you have 7 or 8 horses behind him? I'm not just talking about horses here. I'm talking about
anything.
You know, the livelihood of these jockeys.
Yeah.
Human element. I mean, sometimes these guys go down, they don't get back up. They're in wheelchairs the rest of their lives.
If the horse had gone down because of the impeding, clipped heels or whatever, and the domino effect had happened, that would have been the biggest black mark on horse racing in the sport's history.
Oh, yeah. Peter would have had a field day.
And they don't need any more, because, I mean, they already had the situation out at Santa Anita Racetrack where they closed the track because they had so many horses breaking down. And, you know, and they said it was because of the use of, Lasix, and they said maybe it was the use of whips. Guys,
didn't they redo the track completely? Soften the track?
They said they found some spots in it, and they even attributed it to possible seismic activity.
Oh, there 20 horses. 20 horses went down. 20 horses died.
Yeah.
I think it was 23 to be exact.
Three more.
Yeah.
But didn't Evangelo Downs have a problem with that at the old track, the new track, and they had to redo the surface?
The very first night, I was talking to some of the jockeys after the first night of the new Evangeline Downs, and one of them told me, he said, "Man, we almost had a boycott tonight." I said, "What you mean a boycott?" He said, "Nobody wanted to run on that damn track.
It was like running on cement."
Well, I remember when Evangeline Downs first opened up in Opelousas. I want to say the first meet they had was a quarter horse meet, and towards the end of the quarter horse meet, they had a number of breakdowns, and then they had the thoroughbred meet, which is like going on now. But I'm talking about, you know, years ago when they first moved up there, and they had a number of breakdowns on the thoroughbred meet, and they had to add some dirt to the track because the track was like hard as concrete. It really was, they had a number of breakdowns. You are correct.
But you're right. If those horses would have gone down, they'd have called holy hell, because they, knowing the way people are so politically correct, they'd have had hearings in Congress over that, you know, about how you treat the horses and you're running too many horses. So thank God they didn't go down.
Glenn kind of goes off on a tangent every once in a while. Yeah.
Well, it's true.
Well, I mean, like you said, the optics, the visual part of that, I mean, they would have had, you know, I mean, think of how many times you would have saw that replay.
Yeah.
Just horrible.
We need to take it. Look, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks,
Bob.
Well.
Great listen to you, and Eddie's a good guy, man. I tell you, he's really just a solid individual.
We have no doubt.
Thanks a bunch.
Good points.
We need to take a commercial break. Five Guys, Studios, and Lies on this Wednesday night with the Strohs coming up at 7 o'clock. And we'll be back after this.
.1037 The Game is all over social media. And we want to interact with you. Tweet us at .1037 The Game and vote on our show's Twitter polls. Like .1037 The Game on Facebook. Comment on the biggest topics involving your favorite teams.
Incense.
Check out our video recaps and give us your feedback. Can't get enough live and local sports talk? Keep the conversation going online all the time with Acadiana's number one sports station. Yes! .1037 The Game. The viewpoints heard on this program could be considered politically incorrect. Good thing they're too old to care.
Well, that's easy for you to say.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies on 1037 The Game.
A few minutes left of this evening's program. This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. Let me see. Oh, one more thing about the Derby. I think we mentioned it, but we'll mention it again. The top two horses that actually finished in the Derby, even though Maximum Security was eventually dropped down to 17th because of the DQ, the owner's taking the horse and is going home, and it's not going to run him in the Preakness. And Country House, which was elevated to the win because of the disqualification, won't run in the Preakness either. The owners say there was a cough. It bothered them. They think that could be the forerunner of a virus. So one way or the other, Country House is out as well. Preakness not this weekend, but the next weekend. And following that, it will be a three-week break before the Belmont.
And no Triple Crown winner.
Nope, no Triple Crown winner. Well, get spoiled because of Justified, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's been such a long time. I mean, it's, you know, that's all. Like Eddie said, that's a grueling deal for a horse. I mean, three races.
Just boggles your imagination what Secretary had accomplished.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Especially in the Belmont.
Do you know in the Belmont, he ran each progressive quarter
faster
than the one he had just run?
Had I read that story right about saying about he had a bigger heart?
Yes. I read the same story.
Physically did have a bigger heart.
Which allowed more oxygen, which made, you know, and I think distance runners, they're great distance runners, same thing. They have larger than normal hearts. Mm-hmm. And,
That's one of the greatest.
Way back when, yeah.
That's
one of the greatest sporting moments I've ever watched. I mean, the call of that race, you know, the announcement, the call of that race, you know, he's opened it up to 24 length. You know, it's just like, I mean, you just want to like jump up and down in your living room.
Who was the runner up? What was the name of that horse that they were going head to head every race?
Was Secretariat?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, because that was supposed to be like Ali Frazier, the whole series.
Yeah, I think that horse finished second in every race.
Turned out to be Ali Chuck Wepner, huh?
Yeah. Who was that, Clint? Second to Secretariat. Because that was
started with an S, didn't it, Clint?
Don't you remember the movie?
Where
the owner of that horse was making fun of Secretariat to begin with, and then at the end, he thought he was going to get him in the Belmont.
Uh-huh.
Who was it?
It was Sham.
Sham. Let's start with an S. Sham. Yeah. I kept thinking Spam, but I knew that wasn't it.
No, that was supposed to be the Ali Frazier of horse racing.
You're right.
And it wound up being a joke.
And then Alidar Unaffirmed came along,
I was getting ready to say,
the Ali Frazier.
The Alidar Unaffirmed competition was really, that was neck and neck.
Did you guys happen to read this week at all about the awarding of the Presidential Medal of Honor?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And both of them catching flack?
No, this is not, what I'm going to say is not political in the least.
Yeah, I thought
that was Tiger Woods.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Donald Trump named Tiger Woods, and the first thing I thought about was, and I'm a Tiger Woods fan, don't get me wrong. Why does he qualify for the Medal of Freedom? And that's what I could not imagine. So I looked it up today.
Okay.
There have been 600 medals handed out by presidents since 1963 in every possible field. Now, the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Oh, I got one for you. I'll come back at it. Go ahead.
Is a meritorious contribution, this is a quote, to the security or national interests of the United States.
Tiger
didn't qualify there. Or B, world peace, didn't qualify there. Or C, cultural or other significant endeavors.
Hey.
95% of the people that I looked at on the list fall under category C.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Barack Obama leads the way with 123 awards in his time as president.
Gonna give himself one?
How many rappers got it?
Ronald Reagan, 102. Donald Trump's recipients, along with Tiger Woods.
Uh-huh.
Roger Staubach.
Yeah.
Alan Page.
Okay.
Babe Ruth. Senator Orrin Hatch.
Blew it there.
Miriam Adelson. You familiar with the name? She's a philanthropist and wife of a billionaire Republican Party donor. Associate Justice Anthony Scalia.
Scalia. You don't even know how to say Scalia. Give me some old Obamas. I want to hear that.
And Elvis Presley.
Give me some of Obamas. Snoop Dogg?
Are 123. I didn't list his.
No, and you're not gonna. Because, no. Here's the
because,
thing.
Because, wait. Who does Do it, we have time for this? Does, because
please,
why?
Oh, please
because
say yeah.
Why?
No.
Why?
No, you ask why I'm not listing it. Please tell me why.
What? Why what?
He doesn't even remember his own question.
I tell you what, he qualifies more for that Oops. Award than Obama did for the Nobel
Fans,
Peace Prize.
Fans, baseball is winding down this weekend in college, and softball tournaments are underway in different areas with the SEC and the Sun Belt. And there's a lot of great sports going on. Make sure you keep your head up.
Sun Belt track and field. Jones
Sun Belt track and field. Sun Belt softball. Raging Cajuns with 6 first-teamers. Coach of the Year. Player of the Year. Pitcher of the Year. Summer Ellison. Alyssa Dalton. Sarah Hudek, the newcomer of the year. And 6 first-teamers with Julie Rawls and Lexi Como.
In fact, they're not going to play the Sun Belt tournament. UL has been unanimously awarded the championship. They won't have to
They
play.
Should be. And by having 2 games rained out at ULM and only going 25-0, they can beat that record next year and go 27-0.
Ralph, where are you?
It's not your traditional sports talk show.
We're out of here. 5 Guys, Stories, and Lies. No show next week. We give way to LSU baseball. So have a great time. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Such a fun sight to see. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, baby.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette, this is KLWB Karen Crane.